Eric, Levi. Captain's Log, Stardate, the 1960s? Famed, beautiful Maoist, Gene Roddenberry, fucks so many women, his brain invents what utopia is. Do you know that's really what happened? Like, he was fucking all of the women on the show. It's so awesome.
I mean, to be honest, like, imagine you're just having, you have a harem, you're running orgies every night, but you're the only guy there, and you're just like, damn, there's no scarcity of women. If only life could be like this, past, maybe post-scarcity.
Yeah.
But for other stuff. Came up with
it. You're like, yeah. What if there was... Oh my god, they have no scarcity on women now. Yeah, because he had his wife, but he was also fucking Uhura on the show. Jesus. Who's that actor?
That's really funny. Like, just the original script is just like, so your pitch for the show is that there's like a million women to every one man? And he's like, yeah, it's post-scarcity of bitches.
Yeah, hell yeah. You love it when a supporter of Mao gets a TV show. That's how you know it's going to be good, and that's why it was good.
That's exactly why it was good, and that's why they made a new one that everyone liked more.
Yeah, everyone loved it a lot more.
Everyone loved it right from the start. Everyone loved it so much more. And to be honest, everyone loved
really
even,
on board.
They really liked the beginning the most. that first season.
They really liked the beginning, that first title, crawl, that first intro.
they held on to it. They loved
welcome
it.
Welcome to TV for White People. This is television. Now this is television. Yeah, this is another one where it's a good show we like.
Yeah, it's, I mean, you know, it's goofy, but we're here to talk about the good old Star Trek, specifically TNG, Next Generation.
Yeah.
It's fun, it is kind of, I'm Eric, sorry, trying to skip past the introductions here. It's fun because, like, normally for, when you think about sequels to, like, movies and stuff, it's really no different. Mm-hmm. You just call it, like, you can just be like, it's here, it's Indiana Jones 2. But it is kind of fun that the whole title of this is like, we made another one! Star Trek The Next Generation! We made a new one! Look at that! New people!
Yeah, Next Generation is a very funny flair on it, especially when it looks like Picard is of Kirk's generation.
Yeah, for that first season, and maybe even the second, I can't remember when the uniforms change, but like, they'd have it looks like the same style.
Yeah, it looks it all looks this, like, the one thing you're like, oh, is this kid supposed to be the next generation? Are we raising it? And then you get like, oh no, oh shit, they're like way past that time, huh?
Yeah, it's like, isn't it like 100 years?
When you get that
so?
First episode, yeah, exactly. Yeah. When you get that first episode, we're like, by the way, we're 100 years later. You're like, well, what the fuck? Since when? You dress the same.
Yeah, every time they encounter like another ship that has like slightly different uniforms, I'm always like, or they have like specifically when they have like a time travel episode or like any kind of time episode where the past comes into play, it's always something where it's like, this ship was blown up 20 years ago, but then like you see the people inside and my brain always just goes like, it's gonna be Kirk's crew, this is gonna be Kirk, is this gonna be Kirk now?
Whoa, is that the gonna be the cast of the Discovery?
Like, oh my god, it's the one from the other show, and then it never is. It's always just like a nameless crew that they either blow up or, you know, send back through a wormhole or something.
Yeah, but so the real difference between, and I'm real hesitant to call this one like TV for White People.
I mean,
the others. Star Trek's a lot easier. The original is a lot easier to cast in that light.
Yeah.
TNG specifically, I think it's more diverse. One of the few shows made by white people. I'm like, all right, well, it's not the same as the rest I'm talking about. Fine. Yeah, because, so the real difference between the original and TNG is that they realized what a utopia could be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, they were like...
They didn't have that dial set up on the first one.
The original, well, because the original had a different idea of what utopia could be.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, what if like an alien was really annoying? And, you know, maybe there's, yeah, maybe, and maybe like, oh, and maybe you get to have sex with a lot of women. Who could say? And some of them might be green.
Because the original is highly based off like the old sci-fi idea of what if you went to a crazy place with weirdos, but you had sex with their women. Yeah. And also you looked cool by a rocket.
Yeah.
Which, don't get me wrong, that's awesome. That's so cool.
That is what I would like to do one day.
One day in my exactly. life. Exactly. At the same time, it is really weird that that's what they're sending out a branch of this Federation to do. They're like, yeah. Kirk and the... There's also a Russian, like, they have, oh my god, what's his name? I should know that one, but he's on... They say he's on it as part of a treaty. So there's still, like, a Cold War going on in the original Star Trek.
Yeah, it is very funny to be, like, several hundred years in the future and be like, still haven't figured this thing out with the Russians. But yeah, anyways, we're in space to meet aliens.
I'm trying to remember what episode it is where, like, he's calling a villain in it or the bad guy they're facing. He's like, you kulak. And he's like, yo, hell yeah, dog.
But by TNG, you know, that stuff's all in the past, you know, it's all behind us. We can go to Russia after, now works with the rest of the human race.
After studying the science of Maoism, Roddenberry was finally able to understand what post-scarcity meant.
Yeah.
Just at its core. He was like, yeah, I mean, it's when you don't need things, but you still want to fight people to get them.
It's
like,
funny
I
that
I think that's right.
It's funny that the crew of the Enterprise gambles, like they still play poker and stuff. Because I know it's like, oh well, poker's fun, but like it, I don't know. It's just goofy. It's still kind of goofy to me. Or there's like a bar, and like Picard. There's one episode where Picard has like been body doubled, and his body double is like ales for everyone, and everyone is they're kind of like. Lukewarm and accepting it. They're just like, oh yeah, that's cool. But it's like kind of because Picard's acting weird, it's like very obvious there's a body double. But at the same time,
we're not paying for this.
Yeah, at the same time, I feel like it's just like, what am I supposed to be excited about? Like, you can just get it anytime you want.
If anything, in a post-scarcity world, ordering drinks for another person is fucked, because they're like, now I have to drink now what you want.
Well, it's just like, I want you to drink this now. I'm having the bartender make one for you.
If you were paying for me, but we don't have money now, so you're coming to me and saying, drink my ale now.
Yeah.
And you didn't make the ale. The computer made it, and then some lady took it to me.
Beyond post-scarcity, that does kind of just, that sort of makes me think, because, like, you know, nowadays, it's like, not only does it represent, like, I'm paying for that for you, you no longer have to pay for that, you hold that money, but it's, like, directly, like, I had to work for that money, so that's, like, a little bit, you know, that's my labor going into that, and, you know, in a distant sort of way, but in the future, it's, like, the labor is having to speak. It's like, now you don't have to. Yeah. You can stay quiet while I say
ask
words.
For one. I asked like, for it for you.
Yeah. Oh, I was so my throat was so tired from having to make sounds from it. I'm happy that you did that for me.
My throat was so tired from all the sucking and fucking we do 24/7 because that's all there is to do on this ship. There's like 100 people and only the core team is active.
Yeah, I don't understand, like...
Not 100, I mean a lot more than that. I don't
know
why I said 100.
There are episodes...
That's where my mind thinks is big for amount of people. I'm like, there's like 100 people in New York.
I feel like not all the scriptwriters are on board all the time, or maybe I, like, missed an episode where it explains this, but there's episodes where Riker and Deanna Troi have, like, a relationship, and then there's episodes where Riker's just fucking all the time, and doesn't seem to give a shit
Riker's
at all
always
about the
fucking,
fact that...
even in the episodes where he's dating Troi.
Yeah,
even in the ones where they're like, Troi and Riker are betrothed and fucking soulmates. He's like, all right, that's awesome.
But anytime
5 minutes on this new planet.
Anytime that they like Deanna will get like injured, he'll be like there like to comfort her. But then I have to remember the episodes where he gets horny for a computer and is willing to throw it all away for a hologram. Yeah.
Dude, imagine like waking up in the night because empath style, you are feeling like I think my boyfriend's downstairs trying to fuck my PS4. I'm pretty sure my boyfriend just found a CD-ROM of Frogger from like fucking third grade that now he's trying to fuck Frogger in. It's so wild that everyone wants to fuck that computer, dude. Everyone's trying to fuck the computer all the time in TNG.
You know,
it's crazy the amount of episodes there are where someone falls in love with it.
I joked about how everyone tries to fuck Data, but to be honest, when you think about it, it's only natural that everyone would want to fuck Data because they're all trying to fuck the computer, but they're like, a computer made flesh? Of course I want to put my dick in it. I would love to be fucking this robot.
Yeah.
And even if they don't want to fuck the robot, they want to do sexual things around the robot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh,
I think I think we talked about this before, so I promise that we're not going to make the whole episode about how everyone wants to fuck Data.
Yeah. But
yeah, the future of space.
That computer.
Yeah, the future of space is we can't like they weren't ready to give up on fucking weird things, putting your dick and vagina into weird places.
You know, because you mentioned the gambling before. What I will say is Roddenberry, a learned man. Mm-hmm. He's studied up communistically. That's how he knows that Gaddafi in the Green Book has whole sections on horse race and going to the track to gamble.
That's interesting. Another thing that
gambling is awesome. And if the future doesn't have it, then maybe we should stick with scarcity.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that in your analysis of Roddenberry, because apparently that was like one of the big obstacles in making Star Trek episodes, I guess. Like the TNG people talked about it in interviews, I guess, is that Roddenberry had like a very strict vision of what the show was. And one of those things that I kind of remember from these interviews was that like he'd like actively like refuse to allow any sort of script to discuss like get like real in depth on like religious topics, and that doesn't change until like DS9, I think, or something. Basically until I guess he's either not involved or dies. I don't really know. I'm not that much of an expert on this, but he's like he knows what you know, this socialist paradise looks like.
Yeah, a bunch of guys gambling at bars. And no one can talk about God.
Yeah, no one.
That's what I've always been fighting
for. They kneel to no God. Well, they kneel to the vastness of space and whatever robotic bio or biomechanical pussy they can find to stick their whole head inside. They're like, computer, generate me a vagina that also feeds me endlessly while I fuck it. The computer knows what that's like because you've been to the planet that it's on.
I love that episode where the cool Texan guy gets out from whatever ice thing he was stuck in. He was like trapped in an ice machine in a fridge or something.
It was all three of them.
And they like hit it and he pops down into a cup.
No, they were all cryogenically frozen. Because the past went like, well, one day maybe someone could save your life. So they just froze them in a fridge and threw them into space.
Yeah, they put him in a coffee machine, and Dad was ordering coffee, and he just kind of pops out. I've been sustaining myself for hundreds of years.
The funny thing about that episode, once you have knowledge of like how cryogenics works, which is that it doesn't, is that that is literally like what cryogenics is today. It's just people going like, one day when you die, if you want, we'll freeze you, and then maybe someday someone can revive you. So it's literally just like, hey, instead of letting your money and assets go to your family, just give them to us.
Your family. Yeah, it's so awesome. Cryogenics is such a funny scam. We should get into that, dude.
That's one of the things that like Epstein was interested in, was like cryogenics.
Yeah.
And it's really funny because people have like they sort of discuss Epstein and his weird dark science topics, is like, what did him and the elites, like, they all gather to talk about these things. But then cryogenics comes up and you're just like, well, no, he's just like an idiot with money, like most of them.
Yeah, he's just one of most the of them dumbest are, yeah, guys in the world.
Most of them are just stupid. They have a lot of money. And of course they're interested in these things because it's literally like showing light to like a caveman. You show like a fire to a caveman and they're like, ooh, wow, fancy future. Yeah.
They think they can live forever because of future and their money. And they go, I guess hook me into the immortality machine.
Yeah.
You know, well, that's not going to work.
It's like,
if something's like, yeah, we can save your life if we fill your brain up with slop, then you should probably go, well, that doesn't sound right. It doesn't sound like if you just shoot a bunch of slop into my head, it'll be able to rescue it.
Yeah, it's like how he wanted to like have his dick and balls preserved so that he could like seed future generations or whatever.
Yes.
And like, you know, there's one way of looking at it where you're like, wow, what an insidious thing of like this very evil man hoping to like survive beyond his mortal chains. But then the other thing is just like, what a fucking moron to think that that would ever happen, to think that anyone could make that happen for him.
It really is the mad ravings of someone who wants to be Lex Luthor, but has an IQ of 92. Like, it's just
a very dumb man. And also, especially like, since, like,
I'm like the guy from the comic.
Yeah, especially since we live in a time when it is possible to save your genetic material to be used. Yeah. You don't have to have your dick and balls removed from your corpse to be used later.
Yeah,
you can just shoot sperm into a cup.
I'll put my brain in the system and my dick and balls. And you're like, dude, you know that you can freeze the sperm. That's how most things work.
And
if you're
going to
get a vasectomy, most people freeze their sperm for this reason. It's like, I think I have to save my dick and balls.
Yeah, he's a guy that was like, he had to like fuck three times a day or whatever. He could definitely save a squirt for a cup every time. And also build, like, a fucking, you know, a fucking sperm bank lab inside of his fucking house or whatever. So you could just quickly have it run over to the fucking sperm fridge and keep it there and have his little fucking genetic Epstein army set up for later. But luckily, he's one of the dumbest men alive. And so, Orwell,
it is incredible, he thought, by letting Stephen Hawking be a pervert on his island, that they'd be pedophiles on his island together and somehow that would make him live forever. Get into, like, Stephen Hawking? You think that dude's, like, the picture of health who will keep you alive forever?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm sorry, not to be, like, ableist here, but if you go, I want to live forever, when you think the person you turn to, Eric, is that person going to be in a wheelchair only communicating through his eyes, or else not that?
Well, didn't they tell Stephen Hawking he'd be dead in like a week after originally getting
that
his disease?
True.
Unless he's that made that
true.
Story up, in which case,
no,
I mean,
yeah, they said
fair.
His ALS was gonna like immediately kill him.
So there you go. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
That's he's true. Like, he told a bunch of people there's something in his blood keeping him alive, and they're like, we gotta listen to this guy. He knows how to will himself alive.
That's crazy. That's crazy that it's like, maybe he was right. Maybe pedophilia and cheating on your wife keeps you alive forever.
Jesus
I don't know.
Christ.
That's what he did.
When people talk about how like smart Epstein is, it usually just comes back to like, he was like really good at moving money around. But when you hear about all the rest of the facets in his life, you kind of just go like, no, I think that he was probably dumb and people just aren't going to look into any of his financial crimes at all.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. It's just that it's very, very easy to do the things he did.
Yeah, because it's like a million shell companies
was,
and stuff.
You know,
like,
hooked up with all of the elite class and
almost
certainly hooked up with intelligence in some way. Not his intelligence, but intelligence community.
Yeah. I'm not super convinced he's like the smartest guy ever. I guess it's just possible he's a very horny banker, in which case you go, okay, fine. Maybe he hid the money really well.
Okay, I guess he's like all the rest of them.
Yeah, like he's just really good at hiding money, but dumb in all other areas of his life, which isn't the craziest thing because, like, you know, everyone thought Ben Carson was, like, the smartest fucker around because he was, like, a neurosurgeon. And then he was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure that pyramids are water powers.
Yeah, dude, he was so cool. That fucking turtle of a man, Ben Carson. They need to bring him back for something. That was the coolest shit in the world. Just, like, a guy who would say anything at all on screen. And they go like, well, you have to listen to him. He was a brain surgeon.
He was, yeah.
And he's like, I'm pretty sure this rabbit is like what the economy is. Go, yo, how, Mr. Carso? And he's like, because it run fast sometimes and sometimes it don't. And you're like, damn, dude. I see how you were able to separate those dudes at the head. Mm-hmm. I get it.
But in the future, we don't need to worry about a neurosurgeon to do this. Because a computer might possibly be able to fuse people in a transporter beam.
Yeah. I think what's cool is that in no Star Trek does it seem like the doctor's really has an advanced knowledge of medicine.
Yeah, they're
the people with the tool.
Yeah, like they're ones trusted to use the button. Like I want to watch the Star Trek
when they brought back the Texan dude. Mm-hmm.
I feel like any episode of Star Trek could very easily start to degenerate, or I guess any any sort of series of Star Trek could just quickly degenerate into like Warhammer 40K setting where they're just like, yeah, we don't really understand anything, but we have technology so advanced we don't have to. We just have to know which buttons to hit and where to point them.
Yeah, that really is what the medicine of the show is.
Yeah.
And, like, what we were talking about, what I was going to get to with, like, the Texan dude, when they bring him back and his friends, they kind of just, like, point a little gadget at him and, like, all right, well, he's fixed now, so.
Yeah, they're like,
those people back in the past sucked at medicine.
Yeah, like, in the past, you had a terrible...
What are you doing? You have a laser. Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
You had a terrible heart disease, but we pointed our laser beam at it for 5 seconds, yeah. And now you'll live... 50 years longer than the people of your era.
Yeah, you're like, this seems fucked up and unfair. That's not right. That's not how it works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We just have to have one smart awesome guy build it.
Like, yeah, hell yeah. That dude's so cool, and the episode's so cool, because, like, you have the Ferengi, yeah, who are like, capitalists are evil. Look at this cretinous species of goblin, where you're like, yeah, I mean, that's what they look like. Cool. But then, like, the Texan dude's revived, and immediately he's like, Data, you're the coolest motherfucker I've ever seen. You're like, hell yeah, dog.
Why don't we get a couple of prostitutes and have ourselves a little hoedown?
That was awesome. That was so awesome. Where he's like, dude, do you guys still have sex work? And they're like, what is that? What is that? And Riker's like, you need to pay people for that? You people really were cavemen.
You barbarians.
Yeah. You had to pay each time. That dude's so cool because, like, he gets unfrozen and he's like, I'm sorry, I can't sell oil no more.
The really rich guy,
like, nobody sell. Yeah,
yeah, the rich guy,
yeah,
is like
nobody sells anything or really works in the way you remember. He's like, that's so fucked up, dude. How can I be rich now? He's like, I don't know, be a cool guy.
Yeah, they're so far in the future that, like, even the concept of being rich is just so far removed from them. They're just like, we don't even really understand the problem you have. Like, yeah, we don't even have a sense of want in the way you do.
It's such a funny episode for that. And this is, again, one of the reasons where it's like, this really... You know, setting out to talk about TV for white people, this is really an antithesis to all of the shows that I mean when I talk about that. Because in this one, it's like, no, you sound crazy right now. What you want is to get wealth for no reason. You want to work all day, every day for nothing. And he's like, yeah, dude, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, imagine
like,
being
what,
like,
if you were cool, though?
Yeah.
What if instead you focus on your guitar right there? And he's like, shut up.
Like,
I don't want to play that anymore.
Imagine you're Steve Jobs. You've just been de-thawed from your, you know, your pancreas cancer that actually really would have been easy to fix in your time. But you're stupid in a different way and allow yourself to die. And immediately upon being unfrozen, barely even waiting long enough to listen to the fact that you are, you know, 10 million years in the future and no longer have to worry about this debilitating disease that you didn't care about in the past anyways, you're immediately just like, gotta get back to work. Like, I'm pretty sure if they, once they get him back to Earth in like a month, they would have had him publicly executed. It's like, yeah, no, there's, yeah. Your kind is not allowed to exist anymore. We had to purge the world of you a long time ago.
Yeah, going around like, I'm sorry, you don't think that it's awesome I stole a thing before? And they're like, what?
Yeah, like going up to people,
I was really good at selling and stealing things.
Yeah, like going up to people and being like, but wouldn't you want to have like your, wouldn't you want to trade me for access to the unlimited resources you enjoy? If you just work for me, I can put a heavy limit on the amount of unlimited resources the world has. But in exchange, you'd get to work for me.
Mm-hmm. The weird thing is where resources are like unlimited outside of, obviously you have to load up, you have to reboot your replicator now and then in the original, and they have to like go to the whatchamacallums, the space locations, Deep Space Nine, whatever those is, yeah. They have to go there, the stations, space stations,
yeah.
To re-up supplies and get different luxury things that can be printed. In Picard, apparently, it's like, nah, actually, we no longer have all of the resources, which is so funny.
Yeah.
It was, somewhere along the line, we decided there would be poor people again.
Yeah, I have not watched Picard. I've heard it's not great. I'm not that much of a Star Trek guy, to be honest. I just think the first season of Star Trek has so many funny, stupid moments. And then there are still a lot of funny jokes to be had about the later seasons, because I've seen up to the third season so far. But that first season's real goofy. There's really goofy stuff in there.
Yeah, it's awesome.
But then, Deep Space Nine, I've heard, is pretty good. That one I'm hoping to check out next.
Hell yeah. Yeah, it's good, but also, I mean, I sent it to you before. Where Sisko just becomes a war criminal. You're like, okay. Deep Space Nine is great, but also it's around the time where they go like, I don't know, maybe we don't have to be all utopia all the time. And again, he fully becomes a war criminal.
Yeah.
They're like encroaching on a war in that one and trying to keep a demilitarized zone. And one thing he does, he's just like, I don't know, I'm mad at this one guy, so... He's not supposed to be on that planet. I'm going to blow the planet up.
That'll get him, is the thing.
That got him. It did get him.
Okay. You can have 100% accurate. It just depends on, you know, how big of a bomb you're willing to use.
Yeah. Yeah, which is just kind of funny when, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong and other there'll be Trekkies out there mad who are like, actually, if you watch the real version, that planet deserved it.
Yeah, well,
it was in the wrong neighborhood.
Star Trek already is kind of weird because Starfleet is like it's the military and the Enterprise. I mean,
they specifically say they're not military, even though they have big old cannons on them.
Yeah, no, I don't care what the show says. I mean, they put them in a spaceship that the Enterprise is the most advanced spaceship in, like, every way in Starfleet. It is the fastest ship.
It has big old guns on it.
It has the most advanced weapons. It can generate, you know, realistic, like, holograms inside of it. Like, it's a weapon. It's a giant weapon. And they have military ranks inside the ship. It's, you know.
It is funny they do have military.
Yeah. He's not like, I'm your bud.
Roddenberry was a naval man.
Okay. The military. I mean, what do you want?
Yeah, no.
Hi there, I'm your buddy Picard, not captain. No, I'm your buddy. Like, yeah, but I also I'm also the boss of all the people here.
You know, here's the thing. There'll be rank under socialism, and that's why I support it. Like, I want there to be rank and hierarchy. I want to be able to pull rank.
But it's funny the express purpose of this this like. Like, even when we imagine, or not we, but like even imagining the utopian space future, it is a military venture to go and venture out into space and meet intelligent life, but still done by the military, like still having the army go out and do it. Well, maybe not the army. We wouldn't send the army to do it.
that was kind of, they found himself locked into that after the original. Because it's just like, that's what Starfleet looked like and was shaped like originally. And I mean, I guess if you're sending out like thousands of people with their kids, you don't want to send them out where if someone comes up and is a pirate, because there are pirates in other places in this. That Han Solo dude's a pirate in it, and he's awesome.
Yeah, and to its credit,
you don't want him to not have safety, I guess.
Yeah, and to its credit, despite the fact that at least early on, they seem to stick to it a little bit better later, but despite the fact that they ignore the Prime Directive, like, almost whenever possible, they do... Most of the plots of the series does show the characters being like, we need to solve this while avoiding violence, like at all costs.
Yeah.
So I also wanted to get into
that the real main difference between number one TNG and the original, but also this and the rest of really all TV for white people stuff, is that TNG is actively not wanting them to be imperialist.
They're trying.
A little bit are imperialist, but they really tried not to. And it's like, well, yeah, I guess if you go to other planets and you're like, hey, dude, I'm an alien, what's up? Then yeah, it's always a little bit imperialist, but...
Because it's more than that. It's not just, hey, you know, we just wanted to meet you. I mean, it does kind of feel like behind that, eventually they would like you to join their big giant alliance. Against like our known enemies. Now, would they like their known enemies to join their alliance too? Sure, but I mean, like, yeah, we probably wanted, you know, certain. We probably have certain goals for China and Russia, or at least like USSR, to be assimilated into the global economy in some manageable form as well. Like, you know, they.
Yeah.
If I'm not gonna, you know, I don't know what the structure of space politics looks like, but the Federation is probably run by Earth humans, so you know,
yeah, that's how it
does seem like. Maybe there's a little bit of imperialism in there.
I think that they move it off world later, but originally it's always like on Earth, and in the movies, like the Federation and Starfleet is all like based on Earth, and they go and I think it's always based in San Francisco, specifically.
That's pretty funny. It is funny to imagine, like, humans get into space and hang out there for 100 years and build, like, a giant galaxy-spanning federation, and at no point have they encountered a federation that's, like, 10 times larger and has existed for, like, a million years longer. They're just like, yeah, no, we're actually the Federation, thank you very much. You guys just got here. Fuck off.
Yeah. I mean, it's always useful that they all speak English.
Unless that happened in, like, Discovery or something, which I'd never seen, so you can't say I'm wrong about it.
Nah, but they fight the Klingons, which is also, they're fighting the Klingons in the original Star Trek, mostly.
They fight Klingons in Discovery?
Yeah. Huh, well, the first season, now here's a little spoiler. I haven't seen past the second season, I don't think, but...
Well, no one can be mad. I'm pretty sure a lot of these came out, like,
yeah, it's on season
20 years
three,
ago.
So, well, this is for Discovery, which is new, but... Newer, but there's, like, three seasons of it. Season one, they're fighting... And it's, like, a mid-season reveal, too, so... They're fighting another universe of themselves.
They have to fight the evil universe themselves. They have to fight the evil version of the Justice League, the Crime Syndicate. Sounds like more of a general term, to be honest. Doesn't sound like something you'd name your Welcome to my organization, the business.
Yeah, like the guy who was their captain, it turns out is so military minded and shit because he comes from the evil universe. And he's like, you were my daughter there, so I just thought we'd hang out or something like that. And she's like, all right, well, the person leading the evil people here, I'm going to bring into our universe to lead our our evil section of Starfleet, our CIA section of Starfleet. And you're like, yo, what the fuck?
It's fun that every...
I think it's Voyager that's added. Every point past TNG, they go like, nah, actually, Starfleet has a little more evil to it. Now there's a CIA section. You're like, that, no, come on.
Well, it would be O&I.
Yeah.
it'd be a little different from CIA. You could take, you know, a little bit of relief from that.
Yeah,
it is fun that, like, I like that it seems like every series tries to have, like, a different bad guy. TNG seems like it sort of spins its wheels a little bit because they're like, well, the Klingons are on our side now, and we haven't come up with the Borg quite yet, so I guess we'll have the Romulans, and maybe the Ferengi. Yeah. We can have two different types of weird bad guys.
And the Borg.
Well, they don't have the Borg, like, the Borg from the get-go.
Kind of Ferengi.
Yeah.
And there was also squid guys, right? Weren't there, like, some squid guys who tried to take over the Federation?
There was, like, a weird... Yeah, there was a weird... I was kind of disappointed. Because
that's why they have to blow up that one guy's head.
Yeah, I was kind of disappointed in that one, because there was, like, a weird, like... you know, sort of like your thing plot line of like, oh no, they're taking over people's minds and they're trying to take over all of the Federation. And they kind of hint at it in another episode. So you think like, oh, this is going to be something. And then when you finally get to it, it's, you know, of course it's like, it's over in an episode. So you're just like, oh, well, yeah.
I guess
there was nothing, like, to worry about really.
Yeah. I don't know. Cause it's like, I don't really want to focus on this where it's now like, oh, are we the baddies? It's like, nah, dude, you can just have a utopia and all this. I want you to go to a weird space casino and have to figure out how to get out of this weird book that you found.
That was a good one. That was a fun one too.
That was good.
Those are much more interesting than like, we've got to figure out how to trick the Romulans into not thinking they're justified in blowing us up. We found a space world that floats around in a giant domino spinning through space. And they're like, what the fuck? I don't understand. Nothing makes any sort of sense. And they're like, yes, but inside the space world, it's a 1930s casino.
Yeah, it's so cool. And that's like what's so cool about most of these episodes, that it's not like they are this evil fucking organization, or it's not like they have to fight the evil race or anything, which I mean they kind of do with Romulan, but the best episodes are, it's like, no, they kind of just found this planet and want to look around.
Yeah. There's found a lot
this
of
nice planet and they're like, yo, what's up, dudes, how are you doing?
There's a lot of episodes that, like, because a show, because I mean, I don't know if they do it nowadays, it sounds like maybe they don't, since they've kind of made it sound like they're evil now, I guess, in some way, like, you know, there's poor people again, there's past, I think it's past, like, post-scarcity.
He's fixing that.
That
he's
seems
making
weird.
It post-scarcity but, again or something.
But, like,
I didn't watch
if you made the show,
Picard.
If you made the show nowadays, it would have to be about, like, that perspective would be like, yeah, we're right and you're wrong and we're here to tell you why. But in the in the past, in TNG, a lot of these episodes, someone has that viewpoint, and then usually another person, typically Picard, can kind of be there to be like, well, weren't we doing World War II once? Isn't it? Who are we to judge these people for doing World War II? Data, shut up.
I do want to clarify, I'm not, like, saying Picard or any of them are bad, because it's like all the Star Treks are good. I just mean they have different vibes. But,
no, I get it. I'm just saying it's good. I think it's better to have the, like you're saying, like, going to some alien world and just being like, yo, let's fucking hang out here for a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. It's just that's what I'm interested in. But, yeah, with TNG, it is funny, the episodes where there's explicitly a Holocaust, and they're just like, I don't know, it is the prime directive. We did tell ourselves we wouldn't be colonial, and that, like, all right, I don't think you have to be colonial to stop this.
The first season, the prime directive is, like, it comes up so much, but then it does kind of feel like at a certain point people are just ready to throw it away. Like, it seems, like, new to them in some way.
Yeah, they all get fed up.
Yeah, like, after the third planet you've encountered where they're doing, like, the Holocaust, but, like, times six more than the last one you just came from.
Yeah.
Like, people are just like, Picard's like, but we have to respect the Prime Directive. And then everyone else is like, but we ignored that for, like, the last you know, 5 years. Like, we last week we said fuck it and decided to stop them from doing the Holocaust. Like, maybe we should continue doing that.
Everyone else starts going like, you know, that's more of like a feeling of the law than a letter of the law thing. I don't think anybody writing it was about how we can never act. I think it was more like, don't become an imperial power, then don't stop the Holocaust.
Yeah, like there's this like Uatu the Watcher vibe of like, I can't interfere, I just have to let events play out. But it's just like, why? What? Like, the only time the Prime Directive comes up in a way that actually relates to what it is created to avoid is when Picard inadvertently becomes the god of a group of proto Vulcans.
Oh, that one's so fun and funny. But yeah, it's like, there you're like, all right, you are definitely fringing on it in some ways here, dog. You see that. But then in the others, he'll be like, no, it'll affect the Prime Directive if I save them from this active volcano that's going to blow up their world.
Yeah,
that one was insane, where he's like, this is Prime Directive stuff. And you're like, dog, it doesn't affect their society if you save their lives. That's absolutely different.
anytime Picard is like really being a stickler for Prime Directive, it really just kind of reads like he doesn't feel like getting out of bed that day. He's sitting in his chair and he's like, don't make me move to a standing position, please. I'm nursing a hangover. I really want to go in my quarters and read a book. Number one, you've got this. You can do it.
I like how far back they kind of lay.
Yeah, they do kind of lounge, which goes back to my whole like, you know, about like what is effort in a post-scarcity world. They're just, you know, it's like talking is effort to them, you know. It's like having to move. The only reason that they are in shape is either like rigorous holodeck training exercise, or the fact that you could generate like a three-course fucking meal that's under 240 calories but still filling, because the computer can just make it that way. Everyone's like, yeah, I ate an entire Thanksgiving dinner for each of my meals today, but it was all under 1,000 calories.
100 calories. Like, what? And like, yeah, it was mostly air filling, but it made me feel very full. And you're like, you suck, I hate you now.
Yeah. Well, do you have any ideas for what a Star Trek would look like if you had suddenly found your mind in a Star Trek-esque fashion had been reincorporated into Gene Roddenberry's body?
Yeah, of course. So, to start off, it's this episode all about Riker. All horny all the time.
Yeah, well, so if we
like
made
most
a series
of the best episodes.
If we made a series, it wouldn't be called Picard. It would be called Star Trek Riker.
Yeah. You know that bit on Extras where oh my god, how am I blanking on his name? But he plays Picard. That's the most fucked up part.
I don't know.
I know his name, Patrick Stewart. What's wrong with me?
I didn't realize that's who you were looking for.
Yeah. Yeah. That extras bit with Patrick Stewart where he's talking about wanting to make a show or that they're letting him make a show where he has the mind powers of Professor X. He keeps going like, and I take her top off and she tries to cover herself, but it's too late. I've already seen everything. It's just like that all the time. But just like following Riker.
Well, so the funniest thing about a Riker show is that he would be much, much older, but still trying to fuck, like, you know, future space 25-year-olds.
Yeah.
With his wife around, because, like, at this point, you're like, well, is he married to Deanna Troi? Like, what's going on there? It's still not... it's only, like, halfway through the season, after he's just been having multiple harems, that you're like, wait, you're married to her? Like, what the fuck? What's going on? Is she cool with this? She doesn't seem like it.
The plot of one episode is he hooks up with a race of aliens that... He sees them and they look 25 and he's like, wow, this must be when they're most beautiful and most mature. These must be 25, 30, 30, 40 even. And they're like, our race only looks like beautiful Earth women who are old, older, when they're children, and they all have to figure out, they're all putting Riker on trial. It's one of those where, they go to the trial at the Federation, where they go to, like, a space station trial, like they did for Data, or like they did for when they're like, you know, you broke the Prime Directive, right? We have to put you on trial.
Picard's like, oh, and wait, at the end, the Prime what? Oh, the yeah, I remember that. I remember what that is.
The one, the thing we do.
No, it's that thing I say. That's that thing I say whenever I want a day off.
Yeah, and that's the trial episode of this show. Is that he accidentally has sex with an alien bug species larva state.
They have, like, imagine him, like, he's looking at the view screen when they're saying it, and there's just, like, a moment of silence, and then he just rushes to, like, a button that just blows the planet up. Everyone has to restrain him. He's like, interesting, and then immediately just like, they're like, also, we're pretty sure you tried to blow the planet up with the gun that blows planets up that we're not sure why we put on the fucking the military peace ship. But, yeah, we're also putting you on trial for that, too. And he's like, come on, I never even did that.
I was doing something else. I was doing something else. I don't know what you're talking about.
Every time they accuse him of something, he's just like, it's made up. Didn't happen.
Didn't happen.
Fiction.
Not this time.
Oh, a writer made that one up.
It's fiction. We made this one up. It's a made-up tale. It's a total fabrication. It never happened. It never happened. This one was invented by a writer.
A writer made that one. Not this time. It didn't happen. No.
Yeah, he can have a couple episodes where, like, Deanna Troi gets sick and he has to be at her bedside and has to be a completely different character from the horny, like, fuck dog that he is, like, every other episode. And people are like, oh, they're gonna let this guy act now. And then just next episode, just right back to just walking around with his dick out.
Yeah. No, I think it's in that episode still. It'll just be, like, scenes where he's taking, the mug she had by her bed back to, like, a sink to fill it or something, and on the way he's just stopping in another girl's room.
He's going, like, to her sink. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, let me go fill this up for you. And he, like, walks out of their quarters, and she's like, why did he have to leave to do that? She's like, he's like still gonna lie to her, and she's like, you know I can read your mind, right?
You know I have empath ability, right?
That Betazoid that stuff gets all over the
not
place.
True.
complete fiction.
Yeah, the Betazoid stuff is so funny because she can usually feel these feelings, like, across planets and shit.
Seems
way too far for this power to work.
It's kind of all over the place.
How fucked must it be to live on that planet and constantly feeling the feeling of just everyone on this planet who's also feeling yours and everyone else's?
Yeah, like, so they, that's like, they, so it starts out and she's, like, empathic, but then I guess there are Betazoids that are just fully telepathic.
Yes.
Like,
is also telepathic.
Okay, so that's what it is.
She chooses not to do that because it's, like, a faux pas type thing.
Gotcha. So there is, because I'm on an episode now where there is, like, a guy who is just, like, a weird Betazoid, like, you know, he's like a Betazoid Goku where he has, like, more power than everyone else combined. He's, like, super, super telepathic to the point of, like, oh my god, I can't, like, shut out all the voices or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he's, like, communicating with, like, a weird ancient spaceship that is a lot, like, a biological spaceship from across the galaxy, basically. Like, he's, like, vaguely sort of communicating with it. So, yeah, I wasn't sure exactly how that worked. Yeah, she can just, like, completely sense, like, across space emotions or, like, just view, like, a planet's emotions. It's very weird. But then, like, you know, the conversation of, like, Data being sentient comes up, and she's like, no, nothing. He's not, no, he can't.
Yeah.
Oh, you think he sent you? No, I can't. Nothing. I feel nothing.
Nah, I'm sorry. I can't be the judge for this one. Maybe if you found like a VHS tape, we could talk to that too and figure this. You're like, Jesus
maybe if you
Christ.
Maybe if you hooked up a Ouija board to a car battery, we could figure out what's going on with Data.
Those episodes are so awesome where they're like, I don't know, maybe we can just have Data as a slave now. And you're like, what the fuck? Whatever all the Prime Directive shit. And like, Picard, I'm pretty sure we're going to take Data from you and
they'll just be
a slave.
They have a few episodes where they're like, oh yeah, what if we turn that super cool android into an army? But also it's like every couple of weeks someone's like, are you sure you're like a person? Are you? I don't think you are like a person.
It's so fucking wild. It's awesome. And there was that, like, doctor, too. When they didn't have Wesley's mom, Dr. Crusher.
Yeah. She was gone for, like, season two.
Yeah, for season two, she's gone. And in season two, they introduce a new doctor. Another lady who comes about just to point lights at people. And go, you're fixed now. I did my job well.
Hers is a little different. Her thing is like slightly different than Dr. Crusher's in that she exists to try to disagree with Picard a lot.
Yes.
Which you think would make
Instead
more sense
of try
for
to fuck Picard, like Crusher is.
You think would make more sense for Dr. Crusher since she kind of like low key believes that Picard is responsible. Well, not low key. She believes that Picard is responsible for her husband's death.
Yeah, she explicitly believes it. It's wild.
Like, definitely.
But she's like,
she's like, I'm over it for him. Yeah, exactly. Meanwhile, this doctor who is just like
this
a good doctor
comes on board, and in the first like 5 minutes, she's like, by the way, Data, you're basically junk to me. You're like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Within five minutes,
he's a wonder of science. What the fuck? And she's like, you are soulless and should be taken apart.
within five minutes she's like reminding Picard, like, just so you know, I'm the only other officer on the ship who can legally have your command removed. And he's like, thanks. are we going to encounter that possibility? Like, are you threatening me? She's like, I just wanted you to know.
Speaking of Data, that's what the B stories are all about. That episode where he tries to do stand up, or he's trying to learn how to tell a joke, and to do that, he does stand up.
That's the only thing the holodeck should be used for.
Yeah.
Teach Data how to be a human. Data's Pinocchio episodes.
Yeah. Oh, they're so good. Yeah. We do Joker, but it's Data.
And Murph, when you call me on, can you call me Joker? It's like, I am a hologram that will do whatever you say.
In the notebook where Joker's like, the funny thing about being mentally ill is everyone expects you to act like you're not. Instead, it's like, the funny thing about being an android is everyone expects you to act like you're not. He's like, a pause for laughs. And he's like, you know, the other thing about being an android, just like his whole set is this.
There's no relatable humor at all. It's also really bad at crowd work.
Yeah. That's why they have him on instead of Murray. It's Picard. Picard has a talk show now. He's just like, do you want to hear another joke, Picard?
The thing about Data is that he is like half of a good comedian. He's really good at observation. But he just can't get the punchline. Poor guy.
That's true.
You couldn't have Data return because you'd have to explain like why Data went to the mechanic to have his face changed to look old. He was like, I wanted to know what aging would be like.
I mean, I think it would be fun if it's just like, I wanted to fit in. Were we not all doing this to fit in?
I thought it would discomfort the legacy characters if I was noticeably immortal. Like, thank you, Data.
Oh,
wow,
my God.
You're so considerate.
Because I reread All-Star Superman the other day. Mm-hmm. It's kicked off by, like, Lex Luthor going, like, I realized I'm aging, and he's not. Just like Picard doing that. Picard's like, I'm aging, and Data's not. It's like, actually, I am. He's like coloring in his hair gray. With
he's just drawing. He's just drawing wrinkles on his skin. He has to reapply every day.
Yeah, it's also Picard is like trying to do Lex Luthor's plan of that, but where it's like get Superman by the sun. He's just like, I'm gonna shoot data into the sun. He's not aging. I'm gonna blast him right in the fucking sun now.
This is really starting to freak me out. Data, get into the sun cannon.
I also think now for modern audiences, we're going to have an 80s comedian teach Data humor. And that comedian is Andrew Dice Clay. And so it's just like him doing a bunch of the, what are those called? Not fairy tale, nursery rhymes, but all about being an android.
I've never heard Data yell, really, so it'll be funny to have him trying to do, like, the Andrew Dice Clay punchlines, where he's like,
oh! Oh! Oh.
Oh.
Remember Mother...
Yeah,
remember Mother
her.
Goose?
Oh.
Remember Mother Goose? Yeah, she built me. Oh!
Oh.
Jack and Jill went up the hill, each with a buck and a quarter. Jill fixed Jack's circuitry. Oh! It was like, what the fuck?
I don't...
Why is that funny? And he's like, you'll get it in 20 years when you're all robots, too.
Yeah, I was like, the only people who would find this funny are androids, and they don't get humor.
The only people who find this funny are androids, and you killed the other one. It's like, what?
Data would have to do, like, that that type of stand-up that's popular now, where it's just a sad story. Data's doing his own Nanette.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, dude. Lorette. He's doing Lorette.
Well, he'd probably be really good at, well, Lalette. He made his own daughter once. He'd be really good because he's good at, like, music. So he could do, like, a Bo Burnham.
That's true.
Just be that's really, true. Like, and that's introspective and people are really bored. They turn it off halfway.
Any comedy special where you hear the words brave and thought-provoking and sad and made me cry, that's how you know it's successful comedy.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they said that about all of Brian Regan's stuff.
Yeah.
Where he's making a crazy face and doing a fart noise.
Dude, that's why I like Andrew Dice Clay, dude. It's just so... it just really makes you think about life and stuff. just doing the Gilbert Gottfried impression of him, just like, two homos went into a wow, 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 wow. I'm just like, just crying, listening to it. This guy and this homo went into the wow, 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 wow. Ow.
Just like the performance of a generation. Redefining the art. Redefining, and you're just hearing like a fucking just hearing a slide whistle while his bow tie spins.
Dude, if retelling Data and Lore that episode as a Gallagher and Gallagher 2 situation would be so fucking good. And it's just like Lore isn't, they don't have to, like, take Lore apart or anything because he's evil. Instead, just chunks of watermelon get stuck in his circuitry.
Data cries over the body.
He's crying over the body.
He was like me,
and
but
it's
evil.
Like Riker walking past with, like, two clearly underage girls, and he's like, hey, do you care if I use your suite tonight? You seem to have something going on.
It's like, I'm pretty sure it's like right outside Deanna's mental range, even though it's like across a planet. He still hasn't figured out like how her powers work.
I'm pretty sure this time she won't be mad at me tomorrow. I'm pretty sure I'll be far enough. She's like, Imzadi, why did you do this? Why is this happening? And he's like, if you fuck someone else, I'll kill myself. It really is the weirdest part of it, that it's like, it's not like they're both fucking other people or something, both equally horny. It's just that he is. She, like, has one episode where her mother tries to get her to marry someone.
She did have one episode where she was, like, romantically involved with, like, a guy who was secretly a Betazoid but didn't tell everyone or whatever. He was, like, half Betazoid or whatever. Like, she was.
Yeah.
You are right. Like, for the most part, it's, like, Riker is, like, constantly... There was... He is, like, so horned up, and she is normal. And then, like, there's one episode where he's trying to convince Picard to go on vacation, and he just keeps reminding Picard about, like, how he's, like, they're basically, like, they're like, insane sluts there. They'll do anything you ask, even the stuff that's illegal on Earth. And then, like, he keeps saying it so much. Like, did I remind you that have I mentioned before that the fucking the women of this planet are fucking insane sexually? And, like, Deanna Troi is, like, clearly put off by it. She's like, she's just like, yes, you've mentioned it quite enough. And that's like the only time that that I've ever seen, like, a visible reaction from her of, like, disgust that this guy that she seems to be involved in some way with is constantly fucking. He's just, like, a fucking deranged sex pest.
She really does play it as if Data's who taught her emotion. Like, it's so weird. She's an empath, but, like, never at any point does she seem to have emotions of her own.
Yeah, it's kind of all over the place. It's not necessarily that, that stuff is weird just on its face, because, like, you know, people are in open relationships, like, that's fairly normal. It's probably fairly normal in the future as well.
Yeah, you'd imagine. It's just weird the way they treat it.
Yeah.
Because it follows what is often the case in many, which is one's allowed to do whatever they want, and the other doesn't.
Yeah, which, I mean, it plays... I mean, I guess it's supposed to kind of play like, oh, that's just not what Deanna Troi wants, except for, like, the seldom times that she does. Or that we're
following Riker more.
Yeah, like...
Whichever one.
I mean, they're both kind of around a lot, because they're, you know, they're part of the crew that is going to live throughout every encounter.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like, you know, Riker's always there with Picard. Camera seems to kind of follow them more. It's just that I guess it's not like I don't know if it's just like they had, I think it's that they had a relationship in the past and then they were separated, I guess, and then have come back together, so it's not like they really have an express relationship now, but then they act like they do all the time, so.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then occasionally Deanna seems at least somewhat bothered, at least by that. Maybe she's just, you know, she's like, you're acting like a weird sex pest in that vacation episode. Which was funny. I was kind of going like, man, this would just be great if they were just, like, determined to, like, trick Picard into smiling the whole vacation. Like, he's just being, like, a big grump, and then they're like, we gotta go down the fucking vacation planet and trick this motherfucker into smiling. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. You're just in the, like, Killing Joke Joker vacation outfit, and like, what the fuck, dude?
God damn it.
God damn, dude. He's like, and look, it even came with this. It's like a gun on him. Like, God damn, dog. Relax once.
But yeah, that stuff's just kind of, you know, it's from, like, when was the show? Like, the late 80s, early 90s? Maybe late 90s? I don't remember.
Yeah. I don't think late 90s. I think more like...
thought it was, like,
late
before...
late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was. There was a certain point where I was like, I wonder when this... because I didn't Google it at all, but I was like, I wonder at what point Twin Peaks... has gained popularity, because I'm like, what if there was a Kyle MacLachlan episode where Kyle MacLachlan was around doing stuff? That'd be fun. They just had like a Black Lodge episode.
I guess the way to think this through, hell yeah, I guess the way to think that through is like, how old is Will Wheaton now?
He's like,
how long has that motherfucker, like, been soy facing everywhere he went?
He's like,
he has to be
50,
like 40,
right?
50? Yeah, he has to be 50 now.
Yeah, it's nice to at least have more context as to why, like, some people don't like him. Yeah, he's 49.
Okay, yeah.
Because they were just annoyed by him as, like, a child or whatever.
Yeah, which, I don't really get that, because it's like there are some weird episodes where they have to teach him not to be racist, and it's like, well, he growed up in the culture that's not racist. These people were growing up into that culture, which is, so that's just weird. But throughout most of it, it's like, nah, he's fine. He's cool. He's got his nice, fun sweaters. That's fine.
Yeah, he's not that annoying. Like he's like a kid, but it's like the only person who has grounds to be annoyed by him is Picard. And that's because Picard is a moderator on r/NoKids.
yeah. Or probably who's really annoyed by it is like Will Wheaton's wife.
Yeah, I would
just bet. Like wanting to watch something else, and he's like, no. What about this episode that I'm in? It's like, oh, dude, come on, man. Let me just once watch that stupid fucking Netflix Is It a Cake show. And he's like, all right, but what if I was racist in this episode too? And she's like, what? It's like, and what if I solved the problem in this episode? She's like, dude, please just let me watch Get Away with Murder. He's like, nah. Although I bet that.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, like, she's like, come on, let's watch a new show. And he's like, okay, I've got an idea. And just like trying to find all the episodes that he's in Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
It's like fast forwarding through it. She's like, what do you do? We have to watch it from the I want to watch it from the beginning. I won't know what's happening. He's like, just be quiet. Just be quiet for a second. I just want to check for something. Why did you have this show on DVD? I don't understand. How else are we going to watch it? It's not on the air anymore.
Did you just put in a DVD? Did you just boot up the Xbox to get to Xbox Live to watch season fucking 2 of The Guild? It's like, hang on. You might be surprised by who you see in it. Just like, I bet I'm not.
Now
that you say that, I bet I'm not.
Oh man, that would be funny if he was a. He's not the host, but that would be like an interesting choice to be the host of the Is It Cake show, a show that baffles my mind as to why it. I mean, I guess it's just like we gotta take any sort of like popular concept and make money off of it somehow.
A nice viral moment from what I believe was pre-pandemic.
What if
it was a trick now?
I thought it was during pandemic, but you're right.
That makes sense too. Either way.
But also that happened like at least like a year or two ago.
Yeah.
So you can only imagine that like a Hollywood executive like heard it and the next day was pitching a show. Like it was like, we've got it. You don't understand.
Look at this Instagram reel. Look at the Instagram reel.
The host is, I don't know if you saw a trailer for it at all, but the host is he's a guy from SNL. He was in the,
Mikey Day.
Oh, okay. So you do know.
David Blaine, the David Blaine Street Magic. It's so good, dude.
Oh yeah.
That's from so long ago. That was real early YouTube.
Yeah.
It's wild that it's like, this dude who is in this skit, like, 14, 15 years ago.
Well,
it has to be more than 15 now.
When you think about it, is it a cake show is just like the natural evolution of, oh, the YouTube guy got a job on SNL. You know? So it's just like, we got to find, it's got to be something that people like. We have got to be able to cash in on it for $1 million. So it's like, YouTube stars or whatever just end up getting like a, you know, some kind of comedy or acting career or something. Because they're just like, people know the face. You can put their face in it. So mm-hmm. Is It the Cake thing just perfectly makes sense. It's just like, someone liked this on Facebook. We're going to make a show. It's going to cost $200 million to produce. And it's going to be a baking competition show where a judge 30 feet away has to try to decide which one's cake and which one isn't.
I love how far away they have to make them stand.
Because when you get close up, you're like, oh, I can easily see which one's a cake.
Even in some of those shots, I'm like, well, it's that one.
Yeah,
right?
I was like, oh, well, besides the fact that he's about to cut into it, you can tell which one's the cake because I don't think a plastic cup has the level of like moisture on it that icing usually does. So
I'm pretty sure that those aren't solo cups. It's actually cake.
I might start watching it now. I really want to see an episode and it be like him going around. He's like, all right, now turn in all of your glasses really quick. Do you have contacts in? I bet you have contacts in.
That'll be.
Do you have them? Turn them in.
That'll be the next game show episode of the podcast we do is it a cake? It'll be easy.
Yeah, dude.
Because that's like. Because, like, Supermarket Sweep, that's, like, a legacy thing, but this is just, like, a pure product of just nothing.
Oh, my God, it is.
It'll be
it's incredible.
Yeah, just thrown into a vacuum and forgotten just as quickly.
Yeah, dude. Nah, dude, it's going to have lasting appeal. Just, like, nailed it. Just, like, nailed
just like
it.
What?
It has lasting appeal.
Just, like, what has lasting appeal? What?
What?
Huh?
What?
You're saying something, but I just hear static when you say it. There's a man, there's a tiny red man in a suit. And he's dancing around backwards somehow in my apartment. I don't. What's going on? Where am I?
So getting back to Star Trek. I like that Picard is constantly arguing for Data to be considered like sentient, but is also it doesn't really mean anything, but I just think it's funny that he's constantly like, shut the fuck up, Data.
Yeah,
don't read the encyclopedia to me, Data. I've read it myself.
Get off of the bridge now,
Data. Go back to your quarters. I don't know why you have full quarters. You should have a fucking broom closet to stand in for the hour that you're not asked to work. You don't need rest. You don't get tired. You really should just fill this role all day long.
Data, for that joke you just told, you're grounded. Go to your quarters, you're grounded.
Data, I'm going to be in your quarters to talk to you about the reason we don't use some of those words anymore. I've looked this up, sir. This is comedy, and you all like humor and comedy. I understand this. Data, you didn't read enough. I'll be there soon. You're grounded. Go to your quarters. Shut the fuck up, Data. Yeah. I always imagine Picard just telling Data to shut up. He's like an abusive friend.
Picard is weirdly hostile to everyone.
He is. Yeah, he's supposed to be.
One.
He's supposed
As
to be.
As it goes on, he kind of gets a little softer the way that you'd expect.
Yeah.
But throughout it all, he's pretty rough around the edges. And you're like, damn, dog, I was not expecting this from all that I heard about him.
He is like, yeah, he's like kind of an authoritarian, and he still kind of retains that throughout the show, but you're right, like he does soften up
rightfully
a little bit.
Rightfully so, but
he loves to like hear advice from people and then like look around at them kind of smirking a little bit, and like, oh, that's what you think.
Yeah.
Fly directly into the planet as fast as we can. Oh, you think that'll kill us?
I think we shouldn't kill them.
Oh, so your professional opinion is that they're not trying to trick us, Counselor Troy? She's like, I only sense genuine sincerity for their intentions. He's like, blow them up.
I think we should let them on board. All right, we'll see how your plan goes. We'll let them on board.
Yeah, he's like,
we'll give them guns at the door. Like, I didn't say that part. I guess we'll just bring them on board and feed them and clothe them and give them baths.
He's like, now, number one, do you think this would be funny if we told them we were going to beam them in the ship and then we beamed them outside into space for like half a second before beaming them on board? And then everyone's like, you really should not do that. These are we're trying to mediate negotiations between these two hostile worlds so that they can enter the Federation. And he's just looking around like, Oh, so you think that's a bad idea? So I'm the bad guy now.
I think that's bad.
Fine, we'll do
so
it your way.
I'm just the bad guy.
I guess.
I'm the bad guy.
We've got this transporter that can basically do whatever we want. We can literally.
Everyone is so trusting with that transporter.
The transporter can literally, like, separate your body from, like, foreign microbes. Like, you could beam up someone with a weapon, but, like, transfigure the weapon so that it wouldn't work upon arrival. It's like incredible. But yeah, they do have they do have insane trust for it. Like Riker's
like, all right, well, beam me up, Picard, guy I'm trying to kill in this moment.
Yeah.
He's like, I'll beam you into that volcano. I'm not beaming you up.
Beam you right into my bedroom. Not gonna make a fucking difference. Your gun won't work when you get there, little bitch. What are you gonna do about it? I'll beam you directly into my skull,
right into
like
my
a little
goddamn
ant.
Airlock. shooting me right in my goddamn airlock, just so you know what's happening.
Yeah, no, like, Riker gets, like, a weird microbe or something, and then, like, oh, we couldn't detect it because blah, 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 like, we would have been able to separate it, but it's fused with his body, so that's why we couldn't separate it. But then, like, and I don't know if they talk about it much in other episodes, but, like, pretty sure they have said, like, that the teleporter can literally, like, separate your body from, like, diseases or foreign, like,
yeah.
It's very accurate.
That's also how they give abortions in Star Trek.
They have this, like, ship full of families, but they're just, like, whenever they have to, like, limit energy for the replicators or for the fabricators or whatever, they're just like, well, no more families, I guess. Some of these, oh, teleporters on the fritz. We sent you down to the planet to have some fun, and you came back, and you're not pregnant anymore. Whoops.
Whoops.
He's like, and you're not going to believe it. It was on my orders. The captain telling them to do it for you, a person I've never met. I thought it'd be funny.
Oh my god, wait. Where are you? Because you and Will are watching Avenue 5, right?
I'm on season 3, yeah. I'm on the episode where they're trying to communicate with an ancient alien that's like a spaceship.
Wait, no, Avenue 5, I mean, not Star Trek.
What is Avenue 5?
Okay. That's the people who did Veep did that.
Oh, no, I'm not.
It's like a
Avenue
space
5.
Cruise. It's so good. It's so good. But I won't talk about that then. But, God, it's... Yeah, everyone's way too trusting in... The transporter.
They love the transporter.
We will turn your matter into energy, and then I go, no, absolutely not. We're not making do a step two. Nah, dog, I'm out. You can bring me another ship.
they don't spend a lot of time talking about it, but like all the food fabricator, replicator, whatever they fucking are, like the thing that just makes food from wherever.
Yeah, the replicators.
But then they like still choose to like make meals occasionally. Just like, well, you know,
yeah. Well, yeah, the machine. You talk about that.
Yeah, they're like. Well, I just mean like they don't, you know, they don't have to get into like how the replicators work or spend a lot of time talking about it, yeah. Unless they talk about like actually making food. But the machine. Yeah. They talk about like, well, the machine can't replicate like the personal flair of like a chef's cook, and you're like, yeah, I can. Absolutely can. You can tell it to do it. You have to know the chemical compound, which means that right down to the molecule, you could say, yeah, and put more salt in it. Make this one cooked longer. Like, make this a drink that's got more vodka than something else in it.
Dog. Machines can't factor in love, dog. Also, I think that's like... They have to go get the Klingon food or something, right? Don't they? Because they're like, we did not program that in. Why would we have done that?
Well,
the Klingons are like, we want to eat worms.
It's like they can. It's. I don't think. I can't remember if it's Klingon or if it's something else. Because I thought that they could make something. They do make something Klingon. But it was like they had a Romulan on board. They couldn't. They couldn't replicate a Romulan food because they had a Romulan.
Is it when the Irish come? When those Irish travelers come and they're like. We didn't... Alright, we're gonna have to find a space station that carries your fucked form of beer, I guess. Because it's all you keep crying for, and we don't know how to make that.
They just get... Well, though, they just get mad that they're mad because they think that the alcohol isn't strong enough, and that's when Worf asks them to make a Klingon drink. And he goes like, well, this rocks. But then the woman that, like, Riker's trying to fuck gets mad. He's like, well, now they won't do any work.
Yeah, dude.
And Picard's just like, well, yes, we don't have the Irish in the future.
Yeah. Oh, he's like, we bred you out.
Yeah, the only reason
we
there's
immediately
an
bred you out as soon as we could.
The only reason there's an O'Brien on the ship is because just the name has survived. He's not Irish. He's German.
That's fucked up. That's fucked up. You know what? I take it back. Now that I realize, Star Trek is against the unification of Ireland. It's against the IRA. Star Trek is... Star Trek sent them to another planet so they couldn't be part of the Federation.
I mean, yeah, it's imagining a socialist paradise, but it's administered by an imperialist space military that goes around and has, like, overwhelming military force against like pretty much anyone they've ever encountered, and is like, yeah, join our Federation. We're human. You may have existed for millions of years, but you're gonna join our alliance, or else we're gonna I don't know. We have Space NATO here to fucking tell you how to live. Who knows? Who could say? who could say what we might do? Picard's just like, ooh, what if I... Ooh, it'd be a shame if I were to beam back up to my ship with the gun that can blow up your planet. That'd be weird if I was in the same room as the button that did that. Wouldn't you rather join the... We don't do that to Federation planets. I don't know if you know that. That's the one benefit of being a member of the Federation, is that your planet doesn't get blown up by us specifically.
I think what would be a good episode... and I guess we'll probably wrap up after talking about this, but mm-hmm. what would be a good episode is there's just a guy who's lived his whole life in the Federation, and he's, like, living in the heart of it, too. He's, like, in San Francisco or wherever the heart, if it's not there. And he just never noticed. He just never noticed. He's like, what the fuck? You can go to space? What? And he's just, like, beamed onto the Enterprise or something because he's an engineer. And he's like, I've never seen anything like this. What are you talking about?
He's like, you never noticed the spaceships, like, going? Like, you've never watched them launching? Or anything at all? And he's like, what? Huh?
I'm sorry, Mr. MacArthur, was it? You are logged here as a ship engineer. It's like, yeah, like I work on sails and stuff. That's not an engineer.
He just thought, he's like, that's not an engineer. I thought boats just looked weird and were powered by rockets now.
Yeah, I thought that boats was in space now. I thought there was some space boats now, and you kind of just set up a sail and the sun beamed into it, but
you didn't had to know
take up could... a big old ladder to get there.
Yeah, but you didn't know we could fly the... I don't seem to follow your misunderstanding. He's just walking away. What's this? What does this do?
What is this? He's like, add a replicator. What does this do, dog? And he's like, you have that in your house. You cannot... How are you eating? It's like, I wait for the rats to come by and I catch them like everyone else.
That would be something that would be good for like a future Star Trek. Because like all the Star Treks are like, what if all the Star Treks are like, all right, if you're going to be in on the Enterprise, it's going to have to look kind of like a big UFO, but with these rockets coming off the back. But not enough space goes, hey, what if we had a big sail, like a big solar sail that made it look like a sailboat? But it still had a solar sail for some reason. So you could have your big UFO, and then you just have like a bunch of sails that come off on all sides of it all the way around in like a circle. And I think that would be good for a big old spaceship. Picard just being like, yeah, they don't work. None of that does anything. We gotta use the fucking rockets half the time. That shit just slows us down. It's too fucking heavy.
What I always think is fun is when they separate the disc from the rest of the ship.
Yeah,
and then use the rest of the ship as a little battleship.
The rest of the ship just looks like shit without it. Yeah, it's got awesome. A big fucking connector that's supposed to have the disc on it, but without it, it's just this fucking empty trophy stand. and I don't think they use the. Do they use the rocket ship or do they use the disc as the battleship? Like, where is the cockpit? Where is the command?
Yeah, no. When they are in the little security thing, the disc is where all the people go, and then they go to like a tiny little space on there.
That makes sense because that's where the rocket.
That's why they're in a different room.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're on like the bridge at the top of the disc, kind of. Normally, but that's why they're in a different room, a little smaller room.
Is there an incognito mode for the ship's computer? Or it's like, because the ship's computer can tell anyone where you are at any time. So it's just like, hey, I want to go to the holodeck. I don't want anybody to know what I'm doing today. It's the only place where I can see my 2D. It's the only place where I can see my 2D anime girls. I need.
Oh my god, that is fucked up. Because like,
turn on do not disturb mode.
It seems like people can always just walk in too when you're in it.
Yeah, I've never seen a locked door.
Unless it's malfunctioning. Yeah.
Computer, where is Data? He's jerking off in the holodeck. Thank you. Happy to know that. Riker's not with it, is he?
The no lead ever wears one of the skirts, but I do like that it's got like unisex skirts in TNG.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just you only ever see it in the background. You're like, yo, what the hell?
Wait, so you see, so there's guys wearing skirts? I haven't noticed this.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's cool. You don't see him a lot. Usually most people are wearing, like, the just, like, the pants. Deanna Troi likes to wear, like, her, like, asymmetrical, like, low-cut shit walking around. Every time there's...
Yeah, hell yeah.
Just, like...
Yeah, they made that outfit for her, and you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, like, Picard is, like, gonna welcome someone. He's like,
I think to show him off.
He's like, I think it might help our diplomatic discussions if you wore that outfit. She's like, I don't understand. There's no appeal. This is, like, an entirely non-humanoid alien race. They would have no appeal. He's like, that's not why I ask you to wear it. Damn it.
You need to wear it. Need to wear it. It's like, I can feel in your mind why you want this.
One, it's like 50% a favor for Riker, so don't get on my case.
Riker has a new outfit, and it's one of those, like, medieval cod pieces that, like, I think it's, like, mostly in Germany they had them, where it's just, like, huge with a whole bunch of, like, heraldic colors on it. It can't really, like, move well with it. It just looks like a giant duck bill, like a fucking... That would be on Big Bird or some shit. So, those things are awesome.
He's like,
they're so stupid. He's like, I love that they used to have those.
He's like, Deanna, Starfleet sent a new line of approved uniforms that you could wear. It's just like a bunch of leather straps. You need to put this on right now. You need to totally check this out, like, right now.
it's just the little communicator beacon, but as, like, a bikini.
It's like three, yeah, just three.
It's like
beacons.
Covering. yeah, exactly.
He's like, and look, this one works three times as well as the normal one. This one gets surround sound. She's like, they all do. What? Not having more of a thing won't make it work better. It's space future
technology.
I think I'm having.
Another misunderstanding with human culture.
Is that Data?
Yeah.
I don't think that would be safe for the counselor to wear. Shut up, Data. Don't get in the middle of this. Data, go to your quarters. You're grounded again.
Data, go to your room. You're grounded.
Just every episode, just every time Data speaks, just get the fuck out, Data.
Get out. You're grounded.
You're grounded again.
Sir, all that I said was, if we simply use the replicators to give them
Data.
More... Data, you are grounded.
Do you not understand?
Do you
want me to
Do you want it to
you...
be 2 weeks?
Do you want me to force you to run in your Data hamster wheel? Yeah. I guess I don't want that, sir. Even though I would not tire. So it's not much of a punishment. Shut up, Data. It's the hamster wheel for you.
Data, hold your arms up for 5 minutes now.
What? 50 lashes, Data. Go to the lashing pit. It's in the holodeck. I swear to God, if I find you in there fucking your 2D women again.
That is, like, getting back to the skirt things, that is fun that it's like, yeah, I'm in the future, sure. Which, thinking about skirts, Oscar Isaac... I don't think I sent that to you, that, like, there was something about, like, look at how good Oscar Isaac looks in this skirt! Because him and, I think, David Harbour are wearing some sort of, like, high fashion skirt or some shit. Mm-hmm. Whatever level Izod would be is what this seems to be. But it's just, like, so dope, because it's like, this skirt looks so fucking ugly, too.
The thing about...
Like, it just, like, looks so boxy, and it makes him look so fucking weird, and it's, like, charcoal gray, and the back is a little long, and you're like, I don't get why I have to pretend you get props for this, while it also looks so bad.
I mean, what it really translates to, because it's, like, it's not like, you know, it's not like it should be some, like, taboo to wear a skirt.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't identify as a female, but, like, It when you see it in, like, a magazine, what it really boils down to is just, like, we got, like, a really, like, an already attractive guy to just power through how ugly this outfit looks. Yeah. Like, yeah, to just be like, exactly. Yo, we'll sell you anything if we put an attractive enough face on it.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. It's like, did you not make this hemming for him?
Yeah.
What the fuck is this?
It looks like the
most ill-fitting pants he could have found. Mm-hmm. It looks like pants that are, like, six sizes too big for him. And he's just like, I'll wear this, I guess.
It works way better for, like, an actor or an actress to do, because, like, for a model, it's like, there's only so much you can you're like, yeah, they look good, but, like, they're a model, like, you know. But an actor is like, oh, I've already imprinted on them parasocially because I like I like this guy in Star Wars, and I wanted him to have a gay relationship with one of the other leads. So it's easy for me to fall in love with this guy in a way I can't for a model. God.
It's so cool they could have done that. They could have just had them, it would have made a lot of
sense.
Just
think if they had...
Instead, they're like, I don't know, maybe they do nothing this movie.
Just think if they had Rian Johnson do... Rian Johnson got the third movie as well, and he just made that happen. Although I guess he made Rose kiss Finn, so it probably wouldn't have happened either for him. He's not brave enough.
Yeah.
What if that was like... Actually, to be honest, that would never happen in a Disney property, to be honest, when you think about it.
Yeah, that's true.
Because, like...
That was so weird that it was, like, first they had him go with Rose, and they're like, she won't be in this one either.
Yeah, I assume that's because of the negative, like, if Rose hadn't been, like, some other...
I think what it is J.J. Abrams didn't want to put work in on this one, which is why he's like, I don't know, Palpatine, whatever, let's call it a day.
I assume that Disney stepped in and said, like, write this fucking ship.
I guess
like just it's, he basically said sad, make though. Empire just so or bad. Just make Return that movie, of the Jedi.
That movie's incredible. I don't think I've ever seen a movie so bad. That was like
Rise of Skywalker.
Honestly, kudos to J.J. Abrams. Yeah, Rise of Skywalker. It feels like he wrote that while asleep.
Like he had like an assistant, like every time he's like just falling asleep, an assistant like nudged his shoulder to like be like, write a little more. He's like, oh, thank you.
Yeah, make sure you write it. And he's like, what? Like, you write, I think I did already.
You write, you write a little more, and we'll give you some more milk. And he's like, I'd like that. I would love that.
I would like that.
Yeah, just scribbling
it's
a little
so
more.
Awesome. It's so bad. Oh, but yeah, that brings me, and with the skirt thing, it brings me to like, what has always seemed weird about, especially modern science fiction, because like, that's not really a category of thing that would have been around for earlier science fiction, but you don't see Neo pronouns in any of it, and it's like, yo dog, I know a lot of people with him now. I bet I know a lot more if this was way in the future.
Well, it's like for Star Trek and stuff, it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, even though it's like imagining the future, it's like how the original series is like, yeah, what would the utopian future look like? I guess probably, like, our I guess we'll imagine it within the bounds of what our conceptions are now, which is a bunch of white people.
Yeah.
But then, obviously, that changes in TNG, which is in, like, the 80s and the 90s. And then as it goes on, you know, changes more and more. But, you know, it's also, like, you know, you say what you want about... I mean, I don't really know anything about Gene Roddenberry or anything like that. But I imagine that most, like, Hollywood higher-ups are probably, like, pretty conservatively minded when it comes to that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So they're like,
yeah, of course.
Yeah, I imagine it in a way that it wouldn't piss off a guy watching this. Like, you know, who I imagine the audience to be, me, this, like, conservative Hollywood writer.
But
even if
it's
I'm
like
wrong
TNG,
on that.
It's like TNG, again, is like, they actively talk about moving away from capitalism, and the capitalists are evil in the Ferengi.
Yeah.
And then in Deep Space Nine, they show a revolution, and that's good, like a revolution on Earth, a communist one, and that's what leads to the Federation, and that's good. And then like Quark I think becomes actively a communist too, and they talk about the greatness of, I think they talk about how good Marx is in that part too.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, at the end of the day, like there's a difference.
But,
yeah, like, you know, there are some ideas like that are going to get through, and some that won't. Who knows? I mean, maybe in a future. I mean, I don't know what Star Trek looks like in the future at this point, but maybe in the future you do see that sort of thing in a Star Trek.
Because
I feel like
sometime
I feel like an economic thing is maybe easier to parse for some normies. I don't know.
Yeah, I think for most it is, because it's like what they get mad about is culture war shit, where they're like,
yeah.
Did you hear about this swimmer? I heard this swimmer is trans, and I don't like that. And you're like, well, that's actually, you're not looking at the trans one.
Yeah.
That one you're seeing is cis right now.
Yeah. Because at the end of
who are you mad at? And like, shut up!
Yeah, because at the end of the day, like, imagining, like, that there's a communist revolution referenced in, like, the 1,000 years in the space future. I mean, I know it's not that far in the future, but, like, super far into space future, they live in a socialist paradise, and there was a communist revolution that led there or whatever. It's like that sort of thing is just easy to shrug off because you're like, yeah, I would like to imagine that the future is better, and like they can, and sure, the super far space future can say these things about like what's good and what's not, because it's one, fiction, and two, so far removed from present day that even if the space future show said that it happened in 2023, I could still be like, so far in the future, these space communists, I don't have to think about this. But then when you have to envision, like you said, culture war stuff, they're like, that's a thing that exists right now I'm mad about. For no reason. I've never met a person like this, but I'm mad that maybe they might have to make me...
so fucking pissed.
I've never met a person like this, and I never will, but I'm mad that maybe I might be presented with the idea I might possibly have to say a different word.
Did you hear they're trying to make James Bond a black woman? What the hell?
That was such a funny one, because like watching that trailer, I was like, yeah, that's a good idea, like to have James Bond, like just the idea of James Bond being replaced by a younger James Bond.
Yeah, a younger person. Like, all right, fine.
But then like, you know, but like,
you do get into like that James Bond is a British intelligence agent, and you're like, all right, well, in that case, I feel like it's weird. However, I don't care.
Yeah, I don't super care about this British character. I remember hearing someone in the past saying, like, why would you want, like, because there was, like, that Idris Elba stuff going around. I think someone, like, posted this on Twitter or something. Like, getting, like, being, like, talking to their dad about it, and their dad being like, well, why would you want to have this, Idris Elba have to play this, like, horribly misogynistic character or something? And I was like, nice try. There's no way that you're arguing that James Bond shouldn't be black because you care that James Bond is a misogynist. I don't think that you think that. Also, that's easy to write out. He does a lot of...
Yeah, they really did write it out in the newest one.
Yeah, he does a lot of, like, even...
That was fucked. Yeah, I want to be a lot more misogynistic in it.
Yeah, Daniel Craig does a lot of, like, fucking, but he's not, like, slapping women around or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Daniel,
he should be.
Daniel Craig is like a... He's
damn, that newest one was so good.
Yeah, the newest one is very good. Daniel Craig, James Bond, is like is just the male version of what like old spy movies imagine like femme fatale spies to be. It's like it's literally like what the Scarlet, like what the Black Widow is supposed to be. The concept of a female spy being like, and then she'll fuck
him. Oh my god, yeah. The bit in Spectre where it's like 20-30 minutes are carved out so we could go have sex with some dead guy's wife.
Yeah.
Some guy's widow. And it doesn't tie in. Mm-hmm. At least not in any memorable way. Like, even, yo, wait, why did he do that? He's like, I don't know. I got to do another thing.
Like, even at the beginning of, like, Casino Royale, when he's, like, kind of... He's not technically rogue, but he's, like, suspended or something, I guess, and he's kind of just doing his own shit, like, trying to solve the mystery. His, like, opening move is to fuck the bad guy's wife to get to, like, figure out what's going on. Yeah. Like, that's his entryway into the whole mystery. And so, it's just really funny that, like, his tactic of spy is basically, like, well, first I'll fuck their wife, and then I'll beat the shit out of them. Until I find out the secrets.
Bond really is just, like... What if a slut had a gun?
but that was like the old concept. Like that's literally what the Black Widow was from, like the Marvel shit, stuff. It's so funny. It's so funny that we just went like, but it's cool when the guy does it. We think he's cool for that.
Yeah, and it is cool. And it is cool when a guy does it. It's different.
But then when the lady does it, it's just like, damn, truly, truly, she is a ruthless assassin, hell bent on killing at all costs. You can't trust her with her venom. She's a spider with venom. She's a Black Widow.
They have to do something for him, because it's like, if he wasn't being a slut, you wouldn't remember Daniel Craig in these movies.
Yeah, no.
He really does fade into the scenes.
Yeah, he's just kind of going around having a good time. That's why it's fun when he's in Knives Out and he's got his Kentucky drawl.
You're like, yeah, wow. Oh, he's so good in that.
But that almost doesn't feel like as much of a payoff if you didn't see him be James Bond for 20 years.
Yeah.
Well,
and that's the story of Star Trek.
That's how the Star Trek was won.
That's how the Star Trek was won.
We've won the West, but in the stars. And
that's so true.
Gone on a journey that has a synonym, which could be in the title of the show. And so
that's so true.
And so our show
journey
comes
to the West.
Our show comes to. I like to think that from the way I like to imagine the way that we leave the planet is at the very center of the equator, and then looking at the planet with America on the left side. When you leave it, you're going west because you're leaving from yep. Florida and going towards California. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So we're always leaving west to the new frontier. But with that, our show
is great. TV for white people.
Our show comes to a close. Thanks for listening. If you want to go ahead and send your questions and your requests for advice over to our email or to our Twitter, you can still do that. We're definitely still totally receiving questions for our future advice episode, you motherfuckers. So feel free to do that. I've been Eric.
And I've been Levi.
And thanks for listening. We'll see you all next time. Say engage.
Engage! Eric. Levi.